It's definitely a different feeling. Being a director and a filmmaker, it's been a sort of extraordinary learning curve for me to be on completely on the other side of the camera and with a documentary, which is different really to TV sport, as I've got to know that in the last 10 years.
How much did you know about Chad before you actually did this documentary?
Not much. No, you know about Bert. Everyone knows about, and you get bored with saying, oh, I'm doing a documentary about Chad Leclos. Who? The South African swimmer. Who? The one with the crazy dad. Oh, that guy. Oh, that guy. And that's been the sort of, the challenge was how not to make it about Bert, because he's just magical. He's just wonderful and sort of warm and loving and funny and intriguing and proud and all of that, you know, and yet he's got this extraordinary sporting son and that story that runs up to Rio.
It's easy to describe them as a dysfunctional family, but they are dysfunctional in a functional way, aren't they?
They are. The whole family is lined up to make Chad train and swim as fast as he can, which is a sort of funny thing to say, because he's in his 20s and he's living over the top of the garage in the Chad pad, as we've now referred to it. And meal times are when Chad wants to eat, not when anyone else wants to eat. And there's no running in the house. So he has little nephews and nieces, and they're always told no running in the house. And if they have a sniffle, they don't come around for the family event. They are, you know, Bert will throw them back out again. You know, if Chad's sleeping, then everyone has to be quiet. And if it's you're right. I think you're right to use the word dysfunctional, because it's incredibly lopsided. And yet no one begrudges Chad or Bert for the way it is. It's just a given. This is what it's all about.
One thing I was amazed about, and I've followed Chad's career for quite a long time now, is the conditions in which he trains. I'm looking at that pool and think, how do you do that week in, week out, day in, day out, when your competitors are in 50-meter pools, Olympic-style pools, yep, and you're having to scoop the insects out of your lane?
Yeah. And you know, to put it into perspective for a British audience, it's an outdoor pool. It's in South Africa. I mean, it's not going to freeze over, but it's pretty unpleasant. And it's a community pool with all that entails. So in the summer, they have to put people to one side so that they have one lane that they can swim in, because thousands of kids turn out of the township to come and swim in the pool. And they're like, well, we're trying to train for the Olympics here. And they're like, well, come back when no one's here. And it's paint peeling and tiles are moving up. And yeah, it's not the perfect setup for an Olympian by any stretch.
Well, which kind of underlines why the Olympics are so special, doesn't it? That you can have people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of facilities, all kinds of intentions, and they all come together, all marry together, and they're all competing against on a level playing field.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other interesting sidebar to the Leclos family is, yes, they're white and they're South African, but they're not Afrikaans. They're Mauritian. And that's as an outsider, as a British person going in, you're like, oh, what difference does that make? And they're like, oh, well, quite a lot. But you know, that's a sort of a nuance that you really need to know, and you really need to, you know, so his appeal to South Africa is across both black and white, which is that's quite a challenge. That's quite a trick to pull off.
Now, from the original story that you were trying to tell, that then developed in lots of ways that you weren't expecting. Can you explain how? Why?
So, Bert had a diagnosis of cancer, prostate cancer, in early 2015. So fairly early on, we knew that we were going to be doing with that. And so we had to sort of, right, well, sit down with him and Chad and say, right, how are we going to cover this? Is this going to be part of the story? And they were completely open. Yeah, of course, no problem. So we were filming in clinics and hospitals and visits and lab results and PSA scores and all of that. And so that was part of it. And then in the last 2 or 3 months, his mum has had a reoccurrence of breast cancer, and which she had in 2010, which we knew about. But she's had a reoccurrence of breast cancer and opted for a double mastectomy, which was a sort of hammer blow to Chad and the family, and we had to have another conversation about, right, well, are we? In fact, we didn't even have a conversation. They said, you're filming. You are filming this. And so we were filming in the hospital and filming in her bedroom within 2 days of her coming back from hospital, which, I mean, it sort of makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, how did you feel about it? Because you've been through things where you've been under the microscope.
Yeah.
You've had cameras poked in your face, yep. And you probably thought, I feel quite uncomfortable about this. Cool. But you've never been in this kind of situation where you're having a life-threatening illness, an injury, which is analysed in the way that you've had to do it.
Yeah, and it's without them saying you've got to film, I would have said, right, we're going to stop at that point. We'll just tell the story in another way. We'll put up the information on the screen and say, this is what's happened, and move on. But they were saying, no, you've got to do it. So we're filming in Jerry, his mum's bedroom, as he says goodbye to go to the Olympics. And she's had a double mastectomy and is about to start chemo. It's incredibly uncomfortable, but you sort of owe it to them. Look, if this is going to be their story, it's got to reflect the full story. And if they're comfortable, then what's holding you back? But yeah, tricky, very, very tricky.
What is the current state of play there? I mean, do you expect either or both to go and support Chad in Rio?
I think they both hope to be there. I think Bert, his dad, will almost certainly be there. I think the strongest you can say about Jerry, his mum, is that she will probably be there and desperately wants to be there, but she's undergoing chemo. She's losing her hair. She's post-op. I mean, we are week somewhere between 6, 7, 8. And so if she's going to get on a plane and travel halfway around the world to support her son, then she needs her doctor to say, yeah, that's fine, you can go and do that. So it's sort of in a state of flux, I think.
You've seen Chad go through a lot of rigors here, both in the pool and outside the pool. How tough is the kid?
He's amazingly tough and amazingly vulnerable in other directions. We've talked a little bit about that. You know, I don't think he knows how to use the washing machine or cook a meal, or, you know, he just about drives himself around, but he's, you know, but he's incredibly tough in a sporting sense. But the challenge against Phelps isn't actually the whole picture, of course. So it's that thing about, well, sport is about shutting things out and putting blinkers on and ignoring this fact and that factor, and I'm going to put that to one side. And then can he put his mum's cancer to one side? You know, that's a big ask for a young guy.
What do you make of that dynamic between him and Michael Phelps? I mean, it was a big wake-up call for Phelps in 2012 to be beaten by anybody.
Yeah, it was his event. It was his event for a decade. And then along came this kid and thought, I'm not scared. And I think Phelps is used to people being scared and not swimming their best. He had a run-in with the Serbian Kavic in 2008 and very nearly lost. I mean, won by a tiny, tiny margin. Phelps swam a really ordinary race by his own standards in London. His turns were pretty average and his run into the wall was awful. But Chad went out and said, I'm going to do it. I'm, as they say in swimming parlance, I'm going to swim over the top of him, which means in the last bit when everyone's struggling, I'm going to be right on his shoulder and then I'm going to swim past him, which is an amazingly sort of cocky race plan. Mm-hmm. But I don't think people do that often to Michael Phelps. And now, Michael's, since London, he's had all these ups and downs and DUIs and retirements and bans and this and that. And now he's married and got a kid and he's come back and everyone's saying, he's quicker than ever.
How are you going to feel watching those races in Rio? I know you're covering other things,
yes.
But you've invested so much time and effort into this project. How are you going to feel in the 100 fly final and 200 fly finals out there?
I'll try and relax. It's very tricky to know. It's a bit odd this. I hope there isn't a Brit in contention. I don't think there will be. But it's also not a showdown just between Michael and Chad. Laszlo Che is the world champion. There's some Japanese butterflies. You know, I think, you know, it's going to be the most extraordinary showdown. How will I feel? I'm not sure. I'm going to be sort of, I don't know. If I can get to the pool, I will. But I won't be sitting down for very long, I don't think.